Acts chapter 16, and while you're turning over there, again, I thank this church for the invitation to come and the opportunity to be here and to share with you. I've had a great week, and I've enjoyed being with you, enjoyed preaching, and I appreciate the attitude. You really do have an attitude of we want to hear God, God's Word, and we want to hear from Him, and we want God to make a difference in our lives, and that really does make a difference in you. With that attitude and approach, God will bless you. And so I thank you so much for your willingness and your openness. And so I pray that what God's given to me to give to you has been a blessing and will continue to do so. Even when the services are over, that God will bring these things to mind and will make a difference for you from now on. And we thank God for what He does and for what He's going to do. I want to thank you for all the food and all the fellowship and all the fun and those people who provided food for me and those people who have taken me sightseeing and been all over the place. And thank you. I want to thank the Reynolds for allowing me in their home and been such gracious hosts. Thank you so much. And I'm going to thank you ahead of time for lunch this afternoon. But thank you so much for this opportunity. It's been a joy. Every time I've been here, I've enjoyed being with you, and I appreciate your kindness. Acts chapter 16. I want to read verse 9 through verse 15. We'll deal with the entire context, but my main focus will be on verse 14 as my text, but we want to read verse 9 through verse 15, and we will not neglect those verses either. Acts 16:9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and then from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. For many years now, I've shared the gospel with individuals, many of whom, if I may say it this way, they just didn't get it. And despite my best arguments, they did not rightly understand the work of Jesus Christ in their behalf. They would not believe. They would not be saved. And perhaps there were various reasons as to why they refused to turn to Jesus, at least from a human perspective. But I think the major problem has been a lack of genuine understanding of the Scripture. They just really don't get what you're saying unto them. And isn't that the same thing when we declare the gospel in a general setting, such as in a public setting as today? I mean, as we come together, the gospel is preached. Everyone hears the message, but just a few of the lost hear and believe. And only that on occasion. Now, why is it that you're a believer today, while perhaps that person next to you isn't? How come you believe? How come you accept the truth while others refuse it? Wasn't there a time when you were lost? Wasn't there a time where you were confused about the gospel and the scripture and confounded over these things, yet now you believe? Well, what happened? I submit unto you that, like Lydia of our text, that your heart was opened. And so I want to speak to you today, thinking about Lydia. The title of my message is, A Heart Was Opened. And we pray it'll be a blessing to you. Let's ask God to do that. Father, again, we come before you thanking you for this opportunity and privilege. Lord, you know the many that are sick and afflicted. We pray that you'd heal them and those having surgeries, those that are lost, Lord, that they might be saved. And we just commit this time to you today and thank you for those who have come together today. And no one's here by accident. And we ask that you would just speak to every heart according to your Spirit and meet every need. Lord, we pray for those that are here that are lost, that you would convict them of their sin. Pray that you would open up their hearts today, that they might be saved. And may we who are saved keep in mind that the reason we're saved is because you did a work in us. And we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. And Lord, cause us to be found faithful in our life, since you did indeed open our hearts. And so we ask you that you would take these things and speak through me and hide me behind the cross, that you'd be honored, you'd be glorified. Lord, we love you today, and we just praise your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to talk to you today about how what we find here is a heart was open. I just want to direct your attention back to the context very quickly. You look into verse 9, and you see that Paul had a vision in the night. He saw a man of Macedonia speaking unto him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And what I find here is that the Apostle Paul was divinely led in his gospel labors. If you go back earlier in that text, you'll find where he makes statements of, well, we wanted to go into Asia, but the Holy Spirit didn't allow us. We wanted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit wouldn't allow us. They wanted to do works. They wanted to go to these certain places, but God just wasn't in it. And God was directing them other places. And so as they waited on the Lord, sought after Him, and seeking God, God gave them a vision in the night of this Macedonian. And He says, we assuredly gathered. The Lord called us to preach the gospel to them. And so He was divinely led in His gospel labors. That really is the best way to evangelize. That's the best way to serve and to minister, is to be divinely led. And so we always try to do that, not only as individuals, we try to do that as churches, don't we? We want to be divinely led, that we will do the things God would have us to do. Now, as you glance back at verse 10 through verse 12, fortunately, Paul was obedient to the call. Some people will be led and don't respond. Paul was looking to serve the Lord. God showed him where he should go. And so verse 10 through verse 12 said, well, we had the assurance then that that's what we should do, and that we should go and preach the gospel to them. And so you see the towns that they went to as they made their journey, and they stopped at Philippi, which was the principal city of that area. But he was obedient. God said, this is what I want you to do. He said, I'll do it. And he went. And so then in verse 13, they ministered, and I like this, and I think this is a good lesson for those who attempt to do ministry and those who want to set up mission works and everything else. I look here in verse 13 that when they went out, they went to where prayer was wont to be made. And what I learned from this is that they ministered where there was an evidence of religious concern. They just didn't go to the hard knots. They didn't just skip out to any place. You know where they put their focus when they first got there? They went where people were already praying. They went where people already had a thought and a concern about their life and a concern about God. They may not have had the right thought, and they might not have had the right concern, and they might not even had the right God. But the point is, they had some interest in religious things, and that's where they went. They went by the river, and I like that, and I think that's good to know. Well, when they were there, they met this lady by the name of Lydia. And so let's think about Lydia for just a moment. Into verse 14, which is our text for today, our main text. And so you see the flow from verse 9 down through verse 13. We see something about Lydia. Now, you'll notice in the second part of that verse, it says that she desired to worship God. I don't know all about her heart. There's not a great description of her. But one thing we do know about her that's written for us is that she worshiped God. It may not be perfectly. It might have been very imperfectly. It might have been halted and stilted. And I'll express to you my perspective of her in just a moment. But I see that Lydia was a woman who desired to worship God. In verse 13, if you back it up just a moment, she even went to the effort to gathering together publicly. You know, some people want to worship God and they just worship in their house or whatever. And she's not only worshiped God, she took the time to get out of her house, get cleaned up, get dressed up, and whatever they did in those days, and came down to the river where prayer was wont to be made. And so she publicly gathered together. I think that's a good thing. That speaks well of Lydia. And then also, when you think about this woman, she was interested in prayer, because why were they at the river? They were there to pray. And they were there to worship. And so she had a desire to worship God. She was interested in prayer. She got up. She took the time, made the effort, went down there. And when Paul and his entourage showed up and they began to preach and to teach and to share the gospel and to witness to those people that had come to the river, you know what I find about her as well? You look into verse 14, you see those words that she heard us. And, she worshiped God, heard us. She could have easily said, you know what, I don't want to hear you, I don't want to listen to you, you're a stranger to us, and so I'm not even interested in what you have to say. Now, perhaps all these people were very cautious at first. I would grant you that. Here's some strangers coming in, and they said, we want to speak to you, we want to witness to you, we want to tell you some things. They might have been saying, well, hold on a second, But as they listen, they continue to listen more. And one thing about this woman, as we continue to see who Lydia is, we see that other thing is that she heard. She was willing to hear. She listened. And I'm glad you're here today. Even if you're lost, you know what that tells me? You have an opportunity to hear the gospel. And every time you walk into the doors, you get to hear the gospel preached. That's where Lydia was at. Now, up to this point, you have to keep in mind, from what I can tell from the Scripture, she's still lost. She wasn't saved. This is a woman who just went about her life in a religious capacity and a religious desire, and she wanted to worship God. She went down to prayer. She heard these people talking about God, and she liked what she was hearing, and she began to pay attention to it, and she's still lost. That still happens in our society as people come into churches such as this on days like this. Some people just have an interest in religious things, and they show up in where they think they might be able to find it, and they come to the house of God, and you hear the Word of God preached. That's a good thing. And if you're outside of Jesus Christ, and you're just searching these things, and you're just beginning, I would encourage you, keep coming. Keep coming. As much as you have the opportunity, hear God's Word declared. Well, that's where Lydia was at. And then we read in the passage, we understand that the Lord opened her heart and she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. So then she believed. And the reason she believed is because her heart was opened. And she believed. And then I see in the text that she witnessed to her family, because in verse 15 it says, when she was baptized in her household. I think she left the place from the riverside and said, God opened my heart, made a difference in me, went home, talked to her family, and told her what made the difference in her, and God opened their hearts too. It's not recorded for us, but I know completely well that God opened their hearts as He opened her heart. And so they all followed after, and then she was baptized, and all of her household was baptized. And so she believed, and she began to witness and told her own family about it. And also with this matter of baptism, I point out about Lydia is that she was obedient to identify with Jesus. Baptism is an identity. I know it's an initial step of obedience. I know it pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is also an identity. And, you know, when you look at the Scriptures and it talks about repent, be baptized, a lot of people confuse that and tie it together and say, well, you have to be baptized to be saved. No, it's just they understood that baptism was an automatic step of following the Lord. And it was an identity with Him. And people that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, those whose hearts were open, you know what? There wasn't a question about it. They followed through on baptism. It wasn't like today where they said, well, I have to think about it. I have to pray about it. If you really have believed on the Lord and you're really saved, you don't have to pray about being baptized. The Scripture commands it. Just do it. Follow your Lord in scriptural baptism. These people were saved. What'd they do? They got baptized. They identified with Jesus Christ. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, in that society, you make an identity with Jesus Christ and under the Roman rule and all that, and with all the other pagans around, very often they ended up losing their jobs. Many of them were persecuted. Just the automatic identity with Jesus Christ. And that's what she did. I like Lydia, don't you? And really, what was it that made the difference for her? Well, we read in the verse that her heart was open. And so we thought about Lydia for a few moments. I want to dwell for just a little time here on Lydia's heart. Look again once in verse 14. We'll read it. And I have several things I want to share with you. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. I believe, when I look at this and I read these things, I believe that she really had an inclination to follow after the laws of Moses. And the reason I say that, because when they come down to the river, what day is it that they've come down to? They've come on the Sabbath day. Generally, pagans don't have that day set apart. It's the Jews that generally had that day set apart. Now, I don't know for sure that Lydia was a Jew that just happened to be living in this area and there wasn't a synagogue available. They don't go to the synagogue. Paul's practice is to go to the synagogue, and we'll read a verse about that in just a few moments. They didn't go to the synagogue because I don't believe there was one. She may have been a Jew. She may not. And she might have just been a proselyte to the Jews that were there, and they went to this on the Sabbath day down to the river to pray and worship God, and she became a part of that. Maybe somebody invited her. I don't know whether or not she was a Gentile or a Jew. I don't know that for sure. But I do believe, regardless, she had an interest in the laws of Moses because it seems to be a Jewish perspective here. because they came on the Sabbath, they sought after God, they prayed and they worshiped. And so to me, I view that as a Jewish concept. I think she had an interest in the laws of Moses. How does that apply today? Now, that would be like someone coming to the church, reading their Bible, and doing everything they know to do. You know, churches across this land have members of churches that come, they read, they're there, they do things, and you know what? They're lost. They have an interest. They're concerned. They want to know. But they're still lost. And that's where really I see where Lydia is. And that was because her heart was still closed. Because we read in the verse that her heart was opened. So up to that point, her heart was closed. You know, before you were saved, your heart was closed. When you were saved, God opened your heart. If you're here and you're lost, your heart is closed. You say, I don't like that. I don't mean to be offensive, but what you need to do is understand that's the truth, and then you need to seek God to open up your heart. There's the difference. Don't get mad and run off from God. Say, God, I want you to open up my heart because I do want to know and I do want to pursue these things. Open up my heart. But her heart was closed. Now, that being said, that she had a desire for the laws of Moses, but her heart was closed to those things. I want to direct your attention to several passages of Scriptures. The first one is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to make it very clear, and I've already made the application that her hearing the law equates to somebody in our society that hears the Bible, likes to hear preaching once in a while, might even have a Bible, carry it with them and read it and all that. There is a parallel. But I want to make it very clear, as you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, keeping in mind we're talking about Lydia, we're talking about her heart, and how that she desires the things of Moses. She goes, she prays, she worships, but she's still lost. She is. What that tells me is, and what that teaches me is, and it applies to our situation even today, is that the hearing of the law does not mean an open heart. Just because you hear the Bible preached does not mean you have an open heart. Now here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you pick it up in verse 12. Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he says, "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. When the heart is open, the veil's removed." But you know what? As people, even in the Jews in that modern society of where Paul was, he says, in this present day, even as the gospel, the Moses is read, they don't get it because there's a veil there. But when that veil is taken away, when the heart's opened up, the veil is taken away. And that's the very same thing that happened with Lydia. She heard the word. She no doubt heard the things of Moses, but there was a veil there until Paul came and preached and her heart was opened. But as we preach and we teach, if you're lost, truth of the matter is, there's a veil there. Not the same type of veil, but there's a blindness in the heart of those that are lost. And we need our hearts to be open. Now, one of the things, as you turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 4, I want to point out to you why it was the Jews really had a difficult time with all this. It really just boils down to a lack of faith. And I point it to you in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, because as the author of the Hebrews makes reference to the children of Israel wandering through the wilderness and how that they were condemned to wander, there's a couple statements in chapter 4 I just want to bring out to you, because here's Lydia. She hears the things of Moses. She just can't connect with it. She just doesn't get it. And part of that reason, you say, well, there's a veil there. Well, there was, but in chapter 4, verse 2, the book of Hebrews, it says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them." Notice what it says. "But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." You see that? They had the gospel. They knew about those things, even though it was foretelling Christ and going to the future. They had the gospel. Whoever the author of Hebrews is, I believe it was Paul. If that was he said, we have the gospel, but that's what they had. But they didn't have any faith. Look in verse 6, and it's still true. last part of that verse, it says, they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Unbelief. That's still true today. We preach the Bible and people might come. They might hear it all the time. They might be faithful than some of the people that are really saved and members of the church. And they're lost. And they have a veil over their heart, as it were. And they just will not believe it. Their heart's closed, isn't it? That happens. You might be like that today. Well, if you would, turn back to one other place, the book of Romans chapter 9. As I go back to the book of Romans, what happened with the Jews, since they had a veil over their heart, they didn't rightly understand the ways of Moses and what it was really picturing and talking about, and they didn't have faith to believe about who Christ was and the coming Messiah and all that. You know what they did? They took that law and made it as a means of their salvation. And so the Jews were very adept in being self-righteous. And that's what happens in our society too. People that really don't understand, really don't believe about the Lord Jesus Christ and know that salvation is by grace through faith, you know what they do? They take the things that they hear and they make it a work salvation. And so if I go to church and I read my Bible and I treat my neighbor right and I live a good life, then God will receive me. And that's exactly what the Jews did. Well, in the book of Hebrews, Romans rather, chapter 9, I direct your attention to verse 31. We already know they had the law, but they didn't follow it by faith. Lydia had that problem. And if you're lost, you still have that problem. But look at Romans 9:31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. They had the word, but they didn't get it for what it was worth. Wherefore, it says, because they sought it not by faith, we just showed that to you, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Look into chapter 10 and Paul's desire for them. He prayed that they might be saved. Look at 10 verse 2. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And so the Jews got into that habit of, because they didn't have faith, they couldn't understand the thing, they started applying that to their own hearts and lives and trying to live it out, and that was their righteousness. Well, if you don't submit to the righteousness of Christ, you're not born again. You don't have eternal life. You'll never make it. You really won't. But that's what happens in our society. People whose hearts are still closed, they still have a veil over their heart, as it were. You know what? They go to church, they're faithful, they read their Bible, but what they do is they make it a works concept. And you can find, if you don't believe me, all you got to do is go out and start knocking on doors and find out, hey, you go to church anywhere? Yeah, I go over here. I'm a member over here. Well, if you die today, where do you think you'll go? Oh, I'll go to heaven. Why do you think you're going to heaven? Oh, I've been baptized. I live a good life. I treat my neighbor right. Some people will tell you they're going to heaven because they go to church. They're just like Lydia here. They're like the Jews. They developed a works righteousness, and it's a self-righteousness. But the fact of the matter is, her heart was closed. Go back to the text, Acts chapter 16, and we want to look back into verse 14 because I'm talking about Lydia's heart. The title of my message was that a heart was opened, and this tremendous lady here, we've seen some great things about her, but she was lost. But her heart was open. What a good thing. What a grand thing. And when I see her going to the river and hearing the things of Moses, and they had no doubt had discussion and all that, you know, she heard with her ears, but she never heard with her heart. The good thing is, she was still where she could hear. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's a good thing. That's why I said to you, if you're lost, you may not be able to put all the dots together and you can't connect it all, but keep coming. Keep reading your Bible. Subject yourself to preaching and teaching, because one of these days, and they used to say this at Clarksville, well, I heard the gospel, I heard the gospel, I heard the gospel, and then I heard the gospel. And you know, the truth is, as you continue to hear, and God's drawing you, one of these days He's going to open up your heart, I believe. Because He's drawing you, He's working in your life. But she was at a place where her ears heard, but her heart did not. But then the Lord opened her heart. And that's what we see in the Scripture very clearly, the latter part of the verse. Whose heart the Lord opened. You know what made a difference in Lydia? That right there. The difference was, Lord opened her heart. You know what made a difference in me? The Lord opened my heart. If you're saved today, the Lord opened your heart. That's the difference. You say, but my spouse isn't saved. Their heart's not open, is it? My children aren't saved, their hearts aren't open, are they? My neighbor's not saved, their hearts aren't open. You're saved, pat yourself on the back about it, prayed it around, I'm something great. No, absolutely not, because what happened? God opened your heart. And the difference here is she came lost and God opened her heart. Now, I want you to think about this word open for just a moment, because the word open means to open. Actually, the idea behind this word here, it means to open completely. And so her heart was open. And we certainly understand by context here that this is the idea is that it was open to a sense of a thing, that it was explained to her, it was expounded to her. Let me give you some references. Turn, if you will, back to the Luke chapter 24. I want you to understand this word because I want you to understand what happened to her. I'm not suggesting unto you, and I'm sure none of you am thinking I'm suggesting, God didn't open up her heart, you know, and then she was laying there, you know, and her chest was open and you could see her heart beating. You know, that's not the physical sense of it. God opened her heart, and that's in the metaphysical sense. Let me share this with you, and I want to look at Luke chapter 24. And I direct your attention to verse 32. You remember after Jesus was raised again from the dead, two were walking on the road to Emmaus. Jesus met up with them and talked with them, and he said so many things to them that day. And then they found out that it was the Lord Jesus Christ, and they got all excited. They spent all day walking. They hurried back to Jerusalem to tell everybody that we've seen the Lord. Look at verse 32 as they got back there. As they were traveling and they were talking among one another, it says, and they said one to another, listen to this, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the Scriptures? And when Jesus was walking with them on the road to Emmaus, he was opening the Scriptures. That's the same word that's used for Lydia's, how her heart was opened. It's the expression of a thing. What was Jesus doing? He began at Moses and expressed all things. In fact, look in verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all things in the Scripture concerning himself. Now that word expounded is not the word open, it's a different word that means to explain or to interpret. But as Jesus was taking the things of the Old Testament Scriptures and he was explaining it unto them, he was at the same time opening up their heart. He was expounding it in such a way where they could have an understanding and they began to connect with it. Now keep your finger here because I'm coming back to Luke 24, and if you can, turn over to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. As Paul continued his ministry following up the events of chapter 16, just notice verse 2 and verse 3. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. And if you'll notice verse 1, he talks about the synagogue of the Jews. I'd said that before, that they always his manner was, he went to the synagogue. And he went to the Jews, and he taught them and preached them and opened up the Scriptures unto them. And it says, as his manner was, for three Sabbath days, for 3 weeks, he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Look at verse 3. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Opening. Same word. Same word that happened to Lydia, that her heart was opened. Same word. Go back to Luke 24. Same word to those two guys on the road to Emmaus, where it says, what, didn't our hearts burn us while he opened to us the Scriptures? You get the idea behind the word, don't you? Now back in Luke chapter 24. As they returned back to Jerusalem, Jesus met with them again and appeared in their midst. And verse 45 gives us a description. As he comes to them, and he, you know, they think he's a ghost and all that kind of thing, and they're troubled, and he says, give me some meat, he eats some fish. Verse 45 says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. They had a hard time with the resurrection. The disciples had a difficult time understanding all that. And he says, well, you know what? These are all the things that are written in the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. And then he began to tell them, just like he told those two on the road to Emmaus. And it says he opened their understanding. Same word, opened. It's what he did to Lydia. That's what he did to the two guys on the road to Emmaus. That's what Paul was doing in the synagogues. He was opening their understanding. He was simply expressing, opening up their understanding so that they might know. So what do we see when we think of this word open? You go back to our text, Acts chapter 16, you look at verse 14, and it says that the Lord, whose heart the Lord opened. Simply, the truth was expressed, the truth was understandable, and the truth was accepted and received. That's what happened. She heard them, listened to them, and her heart was open. And her heart was open because God opened her heart. Now that's what it says very clearly. The Lord opened it. I'm saved only because God opened my heart. It's not because of any good thing in me. And because of that, you know what? New life was granted to her. God opened her heart, gave her life. Turn, if you will, to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. While you're turning over there, I remind you what is written in John chapter 3, verse 7, where Jesus said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." You have to have new life. That life comes from above. You can't make it happen. It comes from heaven. If you're lost today, you're dead in trespasses and sins, you need new life. Only God can grant that life. Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 4, you can read those earlier verses from verse 1 through verse 3 about how we're dead and how we used to live before we were saved. But then he says in verse 4 what really makes the difference. "But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved." And you know what He does? Is He gives you life and opens your heart. That's what happens. And so Lydia's heart was open that day. She had new life. And I believe that faith was given unto her, by the way. Even while you're there in Ephesians chapter 2, skip down to verse 8. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You know, even when you get to heaven, you're not going to boast because you believed and somebody else didn't. Even faith itself was a gift. God gave you the graces of repentance and faith. They're gifts. And He opens up our heart. He gives us life. It all gives Him the honor and the glory. God is the Savior. And Lydia that day, she was doing all the religion she always knew to do. She got to that point and God opened her heart. You know, click, the light came on. You know how that is. I mean, wow, it finally sunk in. One other thing about Lydia, and then I want to draw a conclusion, but I do have several sub-points in my conclusion or references I want you to look at. So we're not quite finished yet. Back in Acts 16, verse 14, it says at the latter part of that verse, after her heart was open, I like this, it says that she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. And that is that she pursued the truth. The word "attend" there means to have in addition, to bring near, to give heed to observe. And you can turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. It talks about how that we give heed to the word. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 19, says that to take heed. You would do well to take heed. That's the word "to attend" here. That's been translated "attend." And what that means is, from my perspective, is, you know, her heart was open, her life was changed, but she wasn't one that you never saw again. She was one that came back. She was baptized, her household was baptized, she talked to her friends, her neighbors, and she kept on. She continued on. You know, I've seen people make professions of faith and never saw them again. And you have to wonder, well, if their heart was really open, how come they didn't attend to the things of God? It's a big question there. Because I believe if a heart really is open, then we will attend to the things of God. We'll pay attention to it. We'll be interested in it. It'll be a concern to us. And that's what she did. She pursued the truth. So you've heard about the context. You understand the flow of that. We see a little bit about Lydia and her person, but especially about her heart and how God changed her life forever by opening up her heart. So, in conclusion, I say unto you, here was a woman who was interested in the things of God, but she was religious and lost. Then God, through the preaching of the gospel, opened up her heart to understand the truth, and He saved her. That's what I see in the text. Now, a few things I want to mention unto you. Go back to the book of Ecclesiastes. And whoever gets there first, just stand up. No, I'm kidding. Some of those books are hard to find, aren't they? Ecclesiastes. Just a few things here. Number one, and I'm in my conclusion. Number one, I just want to remind you that natural, and I know people don't like this, but natural man cannot understand divine truth because of his depraved condition. That's why when we witness to people and we try and we try and we try, we just can't get anywhere. Because they're depraved. Well, I was depraved. Still am. But I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 says, notice this, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also He hath set the world in their heart, so that man cannot find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. That's the depravity of man. The world is in their heart. There's just too much there. Everything's blocking their vision. And they have so much in competition. So Lydia, she was just doing what she naturally knew to do, but the world was set in her heart. And she was religious, but she was lost. So then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, what that tells me is divine truth must be revealed by God through His Spirit. If my heart was clouded and dark and blinded, then how would I ever see? God has to make a work or it won't be done. And so truth must be revealed by His Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." A person that's lost will never get it. It makes no sense to them. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The only way anybody can ever understand anything about God and the things of God is if the Spirit reveals it to them. And if the Spirit doesn't reveal it to them, they'll never see it. They cannot see it, and they won't see it. And even if they could, they didn't want it. Because man has world set in their heart. The good thing is, divine truth can be revealed. And we see Lydia coming to the riverside, and she heard the word, and God opened up her heart. That means the Holy Spirit was working. And if you're here today and you have a burden and tug on your soul and you know that you're lost, you know what? God may be working in your heart. Spirit's touching you. God must reveal truth. I invite you back to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, number 3. We're learning from Lydia and we're making some application here. With a natural man not receiving divine truth because he's depraved, but God can reveal it by His Spirit. Number 3, the sinner needs to cry out to God for mercy and for understanding. And if you're lost today, that's the only thing I can do. Point you to Jesus, the mighty to save. Open up the Scripture to you and have you cry out to God. God, show me. God, open up my heart. Because I can't do it. I can't make you see. I can't make you understand. I can teach you all that I can, but I can't make your heart open. So Isaiah chapter 55, I read in verse 6 and verse 7, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." Truth is, if you're here and you're lost, God must be speaking to you in some capacity because you're here. There's an interest in spiritual things, and I pray that God would continue to work that into your heart. But if you're lost, you need to cry out to God. God, I want to seek after You. I want to be found of You. Would You open up my heart? Cry to the Lord. Ask Him to do so. Back to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Number 4. When God works, the sinner must be responsive. When I read John chapter 6, I look at verse 44. It says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at that last day." The reason I come to God is because He drew me. But I needed to respond. The only way I could respond was really by His grace and by His mercy. But the point that I'm making to you is, you say, "Well, I heard the word, I understand, and you make a lot of sense, but you know what? I really don't care." You know what? You're not going to respond. You need to respond, though. I said, seek the Lord while He may be found. You might choose not to do that. That's your privilege. Maybe you'll remain lost, and your heart will remain closed, and you'll split hell wide open. I'll tell you, my friend, if you're lost, you need to seek after the Lord, and as God moves in your heart, you need to be responsive as He's moving. As He draws, you respond. As He draws, you go. You listen to what God has to say. And then, notice verse 37 there in John chapter 6, number 5, as God works, the sinner may be confident. This is good news. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. You know, some people don't go to God because they're afraid God will turn them away. But if God's working in your heart, drawing you, opening up your soul, you're learning these things, you're learning truths, and you really do want to be saved, you know, I can tell you with absolute confidence, if you repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He will give you eternal life. He will not turn you away. I believe that with all my heart. Because He says, I will in no wise cast out. Because as God draws, if you follow, if you respond, you're just doing what God wants you to do anyway. He's not going to turn you away. He's not going to draw you right up in the end and say, oh, no, never mind. We might do that to kids as a joke, you know. Here, you want this piece of candy? Oh, never mind. God will never do that. Never do that. So as God works, I want you to know, lost friend, if you're burning in your heart, you've been concerned about these things, and God's touching you, you can go to God. Because He's working. And so then number six, I just want to remind you that religion does not take the place of relationship. Don't we see that with Lydia? She had all the religion she needed, but it wasn't enough. You look at the Jews, they had plenty of religion, but it wasn't enough. And religion will not take the place of relationship. You might even be a member of this church, but I'll tell you, if you're not saved, you don't have a relationship. And that religion won't do anything but put you deeper in hell. You need a religion. The religion won't save you. A relationship will. You need to know Jesus Christ. And then number seven, although God is the one who must open up the heart, He has really chosen the means whereby that is accomplished. What do I mean by that? Well, we know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, it says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Mark 16, 15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Do you know why we do what we do? Because this is the means whereby God has chosen to save the lost. And you say, well, God is the one who has to open up a heart. You can't do it. The church can't do it. That's absolutely right. But God said, the way I open up a heart is through the preaching of the gospel. And that's why Paul went all those places and witnessed to those people. That's why he was at the river. He was just simply declaring the word. That's why we're here today. We worship God, we honor God, but in doing so, we also declare the gospel. And that's what God will use as He opens up your heart, as it's explained to you, hopefully clear enough, and God will open up that heart then and you grasp it. And so God has chosen the means to use in saving men, and it's the dissemination of the gospel. What happened in the text? God sent Paul by a vision. God sent Paul. Paul went. Lydia heard. The Lord opened her heart. Isn't that how that worked? Still works today. And so if you're here today, I want you to know that if you're lost, God can open your heart. Would you seek after Him? Would you turn to Him? Is your heart opened? You might have religion, but not a relationship. Has your heart been opened? Do you know Jesus Christ? And if you're here and you're saved, and yet you say, yes, I know I'm saved, God has opened my heart, God's made a difference, then do you need to better attend the things of God? I mean, Lydia, after she heard and was heart was opened, she attended to the things of God. Maybe your heart has been opened, maybe you are saved, but you haven't attended very well. I'm not talking about just church attendance, but the things of God in general, which includes church attendance. You know what? I'd encourage you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, He's opened up your heart. You know what? Surrender your life to Him, lock, stock, and barrel. I mean, want to serve Him, follow Him, be obedient, and whatever He would have you to do. He did save you. He did open up your heart. The least you can do is render your life back to Him. And so if you're not attending very well as a Christian, then say, hey, I want to attend to the things of God. And may God make a difference in your heart and your life to do so. That if you're saved, you'll be found faithful. And if you're lost, oh my friend, that you would come to Christ today. Would you be saved? You say, God has to open up my heart. Is He tugging at it? Is He burdening you? Are you thinking about it? Is your heart running about 100 miles an hour right now and you wish I'd shut up? You know? I pray that God speaks to your heart and opens it today, dear sinner, that you might be saved. Mm-hmm.